When Chris and Carrie Tifo were in the hospital with their newborn son, Micah, they clung to the sovereignty of God.
When you've got what we coined at that time, stormy weather faith versus fair weather faith, these are the trials where the testing of the faith produces endurance. This is where growth happens. You find out what you really believe at that moment. By the grace of God, He strengthens you.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, co-author of You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. For Monday, December 6th, I'm Dana Gresh. What do you do when you're hit with terrible news? Nancy, at some point, we will all have to deal with that question in one way or another.
Yeah, it's true. I have a number of friends who are in some really hard places right now. And Robert and I have experienced some of those terrible news moments ourselves. In Jeremiah chapter 17, we get a picture of a person who is prepared for those times because he has learned to put his trust in the Lord. The scripture says that person is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit.
I want to be like that.
I do too. And I don't think there's any way to become like that without having times of testing. I think of the example of my dear friends, Chris and Carrie Tifo. In fact, about 10 years ago, I remember hearing the news that their seventh child had been born with severe physical disabilities. But throughout those years, I saw Chris and Carrie and their precious family remaining connected to the Lord and bearing fruit. We're about to hear that story. And I hope you listen carefully, because the example of this family will help you to be like that tree, sending roots deep into the truth of God's Word and prepared for whatever storms may come into your life.
In the fall of 2010, Carrie Tifo felt the Lord leading her to memorize Psalm 34. She was pregnant with her seventh child, Micah, and she thought it would be a perfect chapter to meditate on during the holidays and Micah's birth. After settling on Psalm 34, Carrie turned on the radio and heard a surprise.
Literally the next week, I was listening to Revive Our Hearts.
And the Lord took my mind to Psalm 34.
Nancy was on the radio with that a whole broadcast for the whole week on Psalm 34.
And what a wonderful passage this is. It speaks so beautifully to tired, troubled, discouraged hearts.
Oh, this is perfect. I'm supposed to memorize Psalm 34.
Carrie didn't know it yet, but she would soon need to lean on the truths of this passage more than she thought. But for now, she was just excited to memorize the passage Nancy was speaking on.
So I would memorize. I made little cards, and I memorized it. My goal was to be able to quote it at the family table for Thanksgiving and on my mind. So when Micah came after the holidays, it was, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together.
This wasn't the first time the Lord used Revive Our Hearts to fill the Tifo home with truths from God's Word.
So we would listen to Nancy Lee DeMoss Wolgemuth on Revive Our Hearts on the radio. It was, I forget the time, about 10 o'clock every morning. And I would have it in our schedule. I would have the kids settled and in their spaces. And all the radios were going on all around the house during this 30 minutes. And we all had our space, and we all listened, and my space was in my back room with a big mountain of clothes, and God would meet with me as I would listen.
Thanksgiving came, Christmas came, and Carrie kept memorizing.
I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed.
Micah Tifo was born on Wednesday, December 29th, 2010. Carrie and her husband Chris brought him home thinking everything would be normal. But on New Year's Eve, they had to rush Micah back to the hospital.
She came out of the house with Micah in her arms and was quite concerned and said he was either shallow breathing or pale, and we needed to get him somewhere quick.
I could tell he was in trouble. At this point, I would say he was going into respiratory distress.
What followed was a blur of hospitals, doctors, even an emergency helicopter ride. They had to get Micah to a newborn intensive care unit, also known as a NICU. In the middle of all that activity, Chris and Carrie had a moment in a small hospital room alone with Micah.
I just remember being tired, feeling totally helpless and dependent on the Lord as we stayed in this little room and waited to hear news.
Christianity is saying, yes, I do have these problems, but in the midst of them, I will lift my eyes up, though they are filled with tears, and I will fix my gaze on Christ.
Chris and Carrie had chosen a life verse for each of their children. And now, as one fought for his life there in the hospital, Chris and Carrie prayed Micah's life verse over him. It was from Psalm 34, the chapter Carrie had been memorizing.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
We can't make God any greater than he is. He's already infinitely great. But we can magnify him in our own eyes and in the eyes of others. Put the spotlight on him.
When you've got what we coined at that time, stormy weather faith versus fair weather faith, these are the trials where the testing of the faith produces endurance. This is where growth happens. You either find out what you really believe at that moment, or by the grace of God, he strengthens you.
Chris and Carrie were learning to lean on God's strength. So were their six kids at home. Micah didn't come home from the hospital for another 9 months. Carrie stayed with him pretty much around the clock, and Chris kept their household running.
As time went on, it was tough because Dad's not Mom.
It was just not an easy time for a five-year-old.
Here's Chris and Carrie's daughter, Kessid.
I remember Daddy he would rush home back to the hospital multiple times running errands for Mama, and he would bring home a chicken. We would have sweet potatoes, broccoli, and chicken every night.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
On a really, really hard day, one of the hardest days, Chris brought this package that Revive Our Hearts sent to us.
That package from Revive Our Hearts included a scripture memory lullaby CD.
And I immediately put the CD in, and we remember playing it at the hospital, and had scripture memory. It just kind of set a really peaceful tone in the room.
Revive Our Hearts also sent Chris and Carrie a devotional called Streams in the Desert. When she received it, Carrie opened it to the reading for that day, January 11th. It quoted Isaiah 41, "Comfort, comfort my people." Here's Carrie reading from that devotional.
You will be wounded so that in the binding up of your wounds by the great physician, you may learn how to render first aid to the wounded everywhere. Do you wonder why you are having to experience some great sorrow? Over the next 10 years, and I just read that 10 years ago. That just stuck to me when I was reading this again, because I read this 10 years ago. Over the next 10 years, you will find many others afflicted in the same way, and you will tell them how you suffered and were comforted.
Chris and Carrie did exactly what that devotional talked about. They didn't complain about their situation or focus only on their own suffering. They saw this stay with Micah in the hospital as a mission to serve others. Kessid saw how her parents were using this trial as an opportunity.
They would share the gospel or reach out to Micah's nurses, whether it's by chocolates.
And I say, if you're going to bring candy, bring good candy. Mm-hmm. And so we would bring those little Godiva chocolates and tracks with them.
Banana bread or really any goodies that my dad finds at Costco.
What was so important was that they were seeing people that were at peace and comforted and not anxious, as I think of Philippians 4.
When we would go to the hospital, I was always amazed.
Dawn Weaver is a friend of the TIFO family who became Micah's physical therapist.
We would be in the waiting room for the surgeries or whatever, and I remember Chris always bringing food to everybody and making sure that everybody got out to their car safely.
And Dawn remembers Carrie's heart to share the gospel as well.
She always used all of her time in the hospital to share the gospel. That is one of her biggest desires, and Chris's, to share the gospel, either to encourage those to continue to grow in the faith or to evangelize.
Each new nurse, each new doctor, each new fellow, each new physical therapist, speech therapist, was just an opportunity to share with them.
It's always inspired me because people would be like, oh, this is awful. But God actually used those for good, and my parents took advantage of those chances. We need to make the best of it.
This family continued to look for opportunities to glorify God and share the gospel as Carrie and Micah finally came home. Chris explains the big transition this family was facing.
A 100% incapacitated child to care for 24/7, and each of my kids jumped into it and loved him and learned so much each day how to care for someone that's hurting.
Libby Tifo showed our team a picture from one of Micah's first days home.
Here's all the siblings holding him for like one of the first times. Here's me, here's Luke, Jacob and Cassid, and there's Hattie.
And their son Joshua had moved away to college, but was still very much part of Micah's life.
I think they learned a lot about putting someone else's needs above their own.
We would often take a book or just snuggle with him, lay with him in bed, or help with his like nightly routines.
Here are Libby and Hattie as they look at more pictures from Micah's early days.
And this one shows me and him reading together, and you could see in the picture he's super focused on it. On Saturdays, we would love to snuggle on the couch and sit and watch cartoons. Yeah.
As the years went by, Micah learned to push himself in a walker, and the kids used this as an opportunity to include him in games.
We loved playing outside with him when it was a pretty day. We sometimes played baseball,
yeah,
with a ball, or soccer.
Yeah, we always wanted to make him fit in, you know, that he was playing also.
Jacob Tifo remembers watching NASCAR races with his brother. Micah couldn't sit up very well, but he would lean on a wedge-shaped styrofoam pillow. Jacob would surround Micah with toy cars and a racetrack. Then they'd watch the race together.
It was a bonding time. I mean, even in his limited state, I mean, through the trucks and everything, I mean, it's something we could, well, you could almost say relate. I mean, you could tell that he was enjoying stuff, that he was laughing.
I think that's what Micah taught the most in those 9.5 years, is just realizing the importance of caring for someone that's hurting.
Multiple times all throughout Micah's life, my parents would make it very clear that no, we don't have favorites. Just because Micah is going to the hospital or because he is in need of more care, or it's not because we aren't caring about you or we don't worry or think of you or care for you any less. We don't have any favorites. Like, some people, the squeakiest wheel gets the most help or something. But no, I don't think I ever felt any jealousy for it.
This is a picture of my grandma and my mom with Nancy Lee DeMoss.
I have a sweet friend who is the mother of 7 children.
This is Revive Our Hearts from 2015.
And the youngest child, who has just recently turned 5, was born with severe congenital mental, physical birth defects, almost died. They spent most of the child's first 2 years in a children's hospital, in and out of all kinds of treatments and surgeries. And the child is profoundly disabled and requires full-time, round-the-clock care. And I've watched this family go through a lot of hard times. This precious mom I'm not sure she slept. I don't know that she ever had a full night's sleep for maybe for the last 5 years, but certainly for the first couple years of precious Micah's life.
Yep. Every day we would listen to Nancy Lee DeMoss on the radio. I remember her actually explaining the RSVP on the radio.
Carrie gave me a set of letters that she has in her home that I now have a set in my home. First one is R, the second is S, the third is V, and I'll let you guess what the last one is. P. Now, what does RSVP stand for? Well, let me tell you by reading something that Carrie wrote to me about these letters. She said, during my Micah journey, I was introduced to an acrostic. R, Carrie said, is for remember. Remember who God is, his promises, his person, his character, his track record, that he is sovereign, powerful, good, wise. He doesn't waste our pain, and he loves us dearly with the purest love. Remember, R. And then she said, if you truly are, then you can S, which is surrender. Surrender your baby. Surrender your marriage, your hurts, your fears, your dreams, your hopes. And if you have truly S, then you can have V, which is victory in the midst of those circumstances. And I've watched the Lord give Carrie and her family sweet victory in the midst of a lot of pain. And when there is victory, there is P, praise.
Nancy gave that message in 2015. The TIFO family had to again put these truths into practice in a very intentional way in 2019, when Micah's health went through a downturn.
The July of 2019, when Micah had gone to the hospital, he was there a long time, and I was just trying to, as Mama would say, hold down the fort, get Daddy out the door to go meet Mama at that time.
There were many nights that even we counted the breaths.
It's scary to see him either turn blue.
When he would take a deep breath, something we take for granted, and how increasingly in his life that was becoming more of an issue.
And there were times where he was really, really touch and go.
But it was definitely a hard time because I never knew if Micah would come back. We try and FaceTime my grandma often, a lot. She would often bring up that she was always praying for Micah, that he would be able to walk and learn how to talk and communicate. And we were like, oh, that's such a wonderful dream. I always had doubts in my mind. I always did, because I saw Micah every day. I saw how he was disabled. But I loved him anyway for it. But Grandma always prayed that. And even at the time, I might have thought, like, oh, it's sweet that she's praying that, but I don't think they're going to work.
After Micah's scare in the hospital, he came back home. And then the year came that changed all our lives.
2020, I mean, no one had thought anything was going to happen. I mean, he was really seeming to be building in strength, that he was very active. I mean, he was even getting back in his walker, which he hadn't been in the last few years. It really came as a shock to everyone when we woke up that one day and he was gone.
As much as we want him here, it was never going to be assured. And God used so many situations to prepare us for just so suddenly taking Micah. I can't imagine what it's like for Mama to lose a son, not to mention even the son that she has cared for so much.
When I walked in and he was not with us anymore, I just felt like it was my fault. I was supposed to be taking care of him. And maybe if I wasn't sleeping, he might still be with me.
This family was left with a home full of family memories. When it was time for the next NASCAR race, Jacob didn't see any point of setting up the racetrack and toy cars.
I have not set up the track. I don't want to say it hurt, but it just felt void. There's definitely that hole that left with his absence on race day.
And Micah's sisters, the ones who loved to read to Micah, they showed our team a new book. Micah had gotten it as a gift.
He got this book for his last birthday from my mom and dad. We didn't really have a chance to read it.
Everyone feels guilt or something, like maybe I should have spent more time with him. But feeling how guilty and how much I loved him actually comforts me, knowing that I loved him a lot. The more you love, the more it hurts.
In the midst of all this grief, a bedrock truth gave this family comfort. God is sovereign.
Remember.
You just have to look at the past to be assured of the future.
Remember who God is.
He is in control of everything, whether it seems like it or not.
His promises, his person, his character, his track record.
He does not waste pain.
Surrender.
I have to just surrender that God's way is better than my way.
If the Lord didn't take him in the gracious way he did, it would have been a lot harder.
For him to go like he did in his sleep was something that we could not control.
Who am I to think that I was the one to keep this boy alive for 10 years or 9 years? How many times have we surrendered him? He could have taken him any time along the way, and he chose to do it like this in a most gracious way. And he's so good, and I miss him, but God was finished with his purpose, and even in his passing, he is so good.
Remember how Kesed doubted her grandma's prayer that Micah would be healed?
Her prayers have been answered. Micah can now walk. The first person Micah really talked to was Jesus. The first person he talked to, and he was able to dance and sing. And the first thing for all that was in front of Jesus. I'm almost envious.
Whatever storm you go through, I hope you'll remember the example of this precious family and cling to the sovereignty of God. He is in control.
Yeah, Dan, it really was a beautiful thing to witness firsthand how the strength and the grace and even the joy of the Lord sustained this family. And I'm so grateful for the way God used Revive Our Hearts as a part of that process. And I'm grateful for each person who prayed for Revive Our Hearts and gave financially to support this ministry during that season of time. That's why we were able to be on the radio every day as Carrie was listening and folding laundry in that season. And the prayers and gifts of our listeners still make Revive Our Hearts possible today. You make it possible for us to speak to women each day who are facing many different kinds of life circumstances. And you make it possible for Revive Our Hearts to be translated into Spanish, Portuguese, Afrikaans, and other languages so that women around the world can be blessed by this message.
Just think about that. There are countless women just like Carrie who they may or may not be folding their laundry right this moment, but they are putting down roots in God's word and being prepared for storms to come.
Yeah, we never know when those storms will come or what they will be like, but I'm so grateful that God is using Revive Our Hearts to point those women to his word.
Revive Our Hearts, of course, comes to you every weekday, 52 weeks a year. But almost half the donations we need to make it happen arrive in the month of December. So when you give right now, you're helping us speak to women like Carrie all those other days of the year.
And some friends of the ministry know how important year-end giving is to this ministry. So they've offered to match every gift given this month to Revive Our Hearts as part of a matching challenge. Would you ask him what he'd have you to give here at this crucial time?
To be a part of this matching challenge and have your gift doubled, visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959.
I'm excited about our program. Tomorrow, we're going to start a series based on Psalm 93. I've called the series, The Lord is King. In fact, if you have a chance, go ahead and read Psalm 93. It's a real short psalm. And begin meditating on it in preparation for our program tomorrow. And let's all ask our King to revive our hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth is calling you to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.